John Walden here. Our studies in 1 John have brought us to chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Two statements. The first one as to how we become a child of God. We become the children of God by believing that Jesus is the Christ. Now, that's more than believing that his name is Jesus or that he is called Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. It's the same as the Old Testament word Messiah. And it means that God sent his Son into this world for a specific purpose, and that the Lord Jesus did the work that he was sent to do. Now, if you receive the historical Jesus simply as a man and as a teacher, you are not a Christian. I don't hesitate at all to say that, because salvation is the result of believing that he is the Christ, that he is all whom he claimed to be, that the Lord Jesus is the one sent of God to take our sins away, and that he did this, and that he rose again from the dead. Now, those who believe in him as the sent one of God, who receive him as God's Savior sent for us, are born of God. In John's Gospel, the first chapter in verse 12, we're told, as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to become the children of God. So you might well examine your own heart and say, when did I receive the Lord Jesus Christ? The second statement is that everyone that loves him loves his children. Everyone who loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Now, this is a normal state. This is not to say that there are not relapses in the lives of all Christians. This is not to say that we do not fail in our love for our fellow Christians, because we do. All too sadly, we see around us today divisions among the Lord's people, a lack of love on the part of almost all of us, or a narrowing of our love to take in just a select few. We love those who agree with us. We love those who meet with us. But God wants us to have hearts wide enough to love all the people of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, this may not sound logical to you, but it's perfectly true. The way you will know whether your love for God's children is right or not is to test your love for him. Now, how do you show your love for God? Why, you do it by obedience. Remember that we have this all through this epistle. God's love for us and God's absolute righteousness. And now when we are brought to him, we show that we are genuine Christians by these two things: love for him and righteousness in our own lives. Now, we're not saved by our love, and we're not saved by our good works, but we prove that we are saved by these two. And here again, commandments, as we saw in the preceding chapter, do not take in the Ten Commandments, but simply the command of God for our day, which was that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. This comprehends all of them. Now, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The commandments that were given through Moses are grievous commandments. We're told in the 7th chapter of Romans that all they can do is to kill. Because we are sinners, because we have so many things within us that are not right, the law puts everyone in the place of death. And this was the purpose of the law, that every mouth might be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. So we are not saved by the law, and neither are the Ten Commandments our standard of life. We have a much higher one now. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All of God's children are overcomers. There are some who tell us that there's a select few overcomers who are going to be taken home when the Lord comes back for his people, and the rest of us will be left behind. But this is not true. Overcoming is a result of believing God. And if you're not a believer, you're not his child at all. If you are a believer, Your faith is the overcoming factor. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The fact that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is the means of your overcoming this world. The world will never overwhelm a true child of God. He may be deceived by it, and it is very deceiving. The world is much more subtle than the flesh or the devil. The devil uses the world to appeal to our flesh, and it's easy to be tripped up by it. It's easy to get involved in it. Now, how is this overcoming done? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this is not the same as verse 1. All who believe that Jesus is the Christ are born of God. But those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God will overcome this world. Now, what does he mean by this? Don't all Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, but this is practically believing it. This is showing in our lives that we do believe it. When you're attracted to this world, you are saying, I lack something. I don't have all I want. I've got to go begging at the devil's back door to get something in this world to satisfy me. Now, if you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as the song says, I have a rich, almighty friend. If you have the Lord Jesus as your friend, and he is God's Son, and therefore has access to all that's good, why wouldn't you go to him for what you need? Why wouldn't you find in him the satisfaction that you want? And you will, too, if you really believe that he is the Son of God. If I had a friend who was a very rich man, I certainly wouldn't go around trying to pick up pennies in the gutter somewhere. If I had a friend who was the most renowned doctor in the world, I wouldn't go around trying to find some patent medicine to help my ailments. And if I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I don't need this world. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. John is the only one of the four Gospelers who mentions that when Jesus died, both water and blood came from his wounded side. Now, this tells us more than the sorrows of his death, because John points out here that the water and the blood tell us of the two cleansing agents. The water, throughout the New Testament, refers to the Word of God, the washing of water by the Word, Ephesians 5:26 says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the blood of Christ is the cleansing agent that cleanses us judicially. That is, when we come to Christ as guilty sinners, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And this never needs to be repeated. But day by day, we need to be cleansed by the Word of God. And I hope that you, as a Christian, will spend a great deal of time, daily, going through the Word of God and letting the Word of God go through you, letting it cleanse your ways. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, this is the moral order. This is the order in which these things are presented to us. The Father in heaven sent the Lord Jesus, the Word, and of course gave us the written Word as well, and the Holy Ghost followed that he might take the Word of God and reveal the Father to us. The three, then, bear witness in heaven. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. The Spirit, of course, is God's power. The water is for purification, and the blood is for propitiation. That is, the Lord Jesus, by his shedding of his precious blood, opened the way for God to righteously bring us to himself. And experimentally, this is the way it works in our lives. The Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to us, teaches us from his Word our need of Christ, and leads us to cleansing in the precious blood of Christ. Now the basis, then, for our faith is established to be in the finished work of Christ. And then he begins to talk about our trusting him, about our believing him. From verses 9 to 13, he takes up this wonderful subject. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Do you believe men? Then why can't you believe God? And believing God results in what? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He takes the word to himself. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just that simple. You either receive Christ or you reject him. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Then you have eternal life. Have you not received him? Then your church membership and baptism and all the rest avails for nothing. God wants you to know. And verse 13 tells us we do know because God says so. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the privilege of resting upon it. We thank thee for all that thy Son did for us and is still doing for us. And we pray that it bless thy word to all who have heard it just now in his precious name. Amen.